I wonder what it is like this evening for those who are in Kiev. I wonder what they'll be thinking. You've got over 100,000 Russian soldiers massing on their borders. They're being told that in 2 days, at any point, Russian soldiers could be driving through their city in their tanks, having obliterated their defences by the air. People in Kiev are sitting there thinking, we're essentially highly vulnerable. It focuses their minds. If you're in Kiev at the moment, I think number one priority to you is going to be your personal safety in the face of a much more powerful enemy. Now, this section, chapter 2 in Proverbs, is from a father speaking to a son, trying to impress upon him the urgency and the priority of being safe against an overwhelmingly powerful enemy, the devil, with all his forces arrayed against him. So if you're a young person today, you might think, well, I just kind of grow up and do the next thing and do the next thing and do the next thing. And this father is almost like seizing hold of his son. You hear those words? My son. It's not like seizing by the scruff of the neck and getting annoyed with him. It's kind of saying, look at me in the eyes. Understand how serious this is. Do you understand? This is life and death. If you see the end of this passage, it's talking about either being inhabiting the lands or being cut off. If you look at verse 19, it talks about people being shut off from the paths of life. This is life and death. This is heaven and hell. And the father is desperate that the son, that the young person, might understand this. And so what does he do? Well, he constructs a very, very careful lesson for the son to remember. And the first and main thing that he says his son needs to be doing is to be desiring wisdom. That's in the first four verses. If you look at the first four verses, you'll see the word if. Verse 1, my son, if you receive my words. Verse 3, yes, if you call out for insight. Verse 4, if you seek it like silver. So there's an if you do this. And what comes after if? Then. Where do we see then? Well, we see then in verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord. Where do we see then again? Verse 9. Then you will understand. So this has been written down in a way that someone could memorize. You think about Israel. People wouldn't be able to have scrolls carried around for them. Can you imagine if every time you wanted to read a Bible, someone would have had to hand copy it out? And paper was really expensive, and ink was really expensive. You'd have to memorize it. So how did the father want them to memorize it? Well, firstly, in the Hebrew, each verse starts with a different letter of the alphabet, A to Z. Second, you've got this if, and then you've got the then. But thirdly, it comes in patterns. So you've got the first if is four verses. Then there's a then, which is four verses, 5 to 8. And then there's another then, which is three verses. There's a 4, 4, 3. And then what happens? If you look at verse 12, it says delivering. And that is four verses. And then you come on to verse 16. So you will be delivered. There's another deliverance for four verses. And then at the end there is so. So you've got an A to Z, you've got a 4, 4, 3, 4, 4, 3, and you've got an if and a then. Now, this is not something that the father's just kind of sat down and just had a casual thought about. This is carefully crafted to remember. And that's what he calls his son to do right at the start. Doesn't it say there, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you. This desiring wisdom that he wants his son to do, he wants a heartfelt seeking. He wants it to be internalized. Treasuring up commandments. So we've got this, haven't we, here? This verse. Why do we have a verse for the month? because we're trying to, as a congregation, treasure up commandments. And let's be treasured up no matter what, how old we are. We can never learn too much of the Bible because it's a treasure store for us. So right at the start of this, a challenge to us is, if you got your Bible taken away, how much would you have left? What would be in the treasure store of your heart? If you just sat down tonight, lost your Bible, in prison for a month, and you just had a piece of paper, well, write down some verses. What have you got in the treasure store? It's a great challenge, isn't it, for us? What's in the treasure store? We're to treasure things. What are we to do next? If we're to have this desiring wisdom, we have this heartfelt seeking. Verse 2, it says, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. So how do we prepare ourselves to listen to the word of God? I think Andrew was speaking maybe about a month ago about having been struck in Isaiah, about preparing himself before worship to try and approach God seriously and being ready to receive what we have from God. So that's a challenge, isn't it? And the challenge is, isn't it, is in the rhythm of our lives. So we're set up for this 6-1 rhythm, aren't we? And so that on Sunday we're saying, well, what's that day for? It's for receiving from God. And so we should be set up and we're thinking, Sunday's coming, good. I'm set up to be in a position to be able to receive his word. I won't be too tired. I won't be falling asleep. I'll be ready to listen. If I need to take notes, I'll listen that way. If I need to listen a different way. But I want to know God's wisdom. There's this heartfelt seeking. Give me this wisdom. But desiring wisdom is not just about being heartfelt. It's about being active. Look at verse 3. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding. Now, we've seen the Ukrainian army, haven't we, at the moment? They're desperate to say, how can we use some new anti-tank guns? They had the British soldiers in there, they had the American soldiers in there, and I'm sure the Ukrainians weren't sitting there saying, oh, there's some anti-tank guns, yeah, okay. Nice to have those. I'm sure they were asking the British soldiers, like, but how do we fire these things? How do we aim these things? How much ammunition have we got? How far do we need to be away? Can they spot us from the air? What do we do to hide? How fast can we run with these things? There's an urgency to know the wisdom of how to use those. And in the context of this passage in Proverbs, there should be an urgency in us in calling out for insight. If men faced with death have an urgency to understand, should not men and women faced with eternal punishment have an urgency to call out to God for insight? So if you today are just saying, well, this is kind of maybe a bit interesting, but nothing more. The words of this come, my son, if you call out for insight, how urgent is it in your life that you would know God? How urgent is it in your life that you would know heaven and avoid hell? How urgent is it that you have your sins forgiven? Remember, this is an if, an active seeking. What does it say next? If you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures. Now, if you had similar songs in school or kind of in popular culture to me, you might have heard the song, Oh My Darling Clementine. It's not highbrow stuff. And its verse would say, in a cavern, in a mountain, excavating for a mine, dwelt a miner 49er. And you might think, what's a 49er? Well, a 49er was someone in 1849. You were living in America. Now, we'd colonized America. Now, they had disgracefully broken free, but we'll leave that to one side. And they'd broken free, but we'd colonized it on the east. There were 13 colonies. But then they suddenly heard, we're there on the east, and we need to be getting across to the west. Because on the west, in California, they've found gold, 1849 gold. So they think, right, we're going to leave the east. Well, what are we going to do? Well, we've got to cross the Great Plains. Does anyone know the Great Plains? Any roads? No. Any railways? No. Well, a few mountain men. Off we go. We've got to go across mountains. Let's go across mountains. Got to go through Indian Territory. Got to go through Indian Territory. Any towns over there? No towns over there. We've got to sleep rough. Why? Because we want gold. They dropped everything and went for gold. They searched for hidden treasures. Again, the question comes to us. What is the level in which we study the Bible? Do we say, oh, I kind of probably know enough of the Bible? Or is there an intense seeking? Remember, this is the if. Desiring wisdom, an active seeking. If you seek it like silver and search for it for hidden treasures. If I told you that there was a place in Thanet where if you dug down there, you'd get to the gold first and you'd be made for life. I'm guessing that some of you might want to go out there with your metal detector or whatever and your spade and you would go for it. Well, again, young person, particularly this evening, how urgent do you feel is with your soul to be in heaven or hell? If you seek it like silver, wisdom, and search for it as for hidden treasures, that's what the Father is calling the Son to do, saying, this has got to be urgent. This is the most urgent thing that you could possibly do, desiring wisdom. Well, you might say, that's fine. That's the if. What about the then? Well, there's two thens coming up. There's two thens in this first section. We've seen the first four, and then we've got a four and a three verses. The first then. And after, if we're those desiring wisdom, the promise in this passage is that we will be developing wisdom. Desiring wisdom leads to developing wisdom as surely as if moves on to then. And where does that wisdom begin? Well, that wisdom begins by finding a relationship with God. What does it say there? Verse 5. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. So you say, what does it mean, the fear of the Lord? It means to find the knowledge of God. What does it mean to find knowledge of God? Knowledge of God is not just know about God. It's to know him personally as our Savior, as our Father, as our friend. And therefore fear upsetting him in any way because we love him so much. So seeking wisdom, we'll find God. Because God, and particularly in Lord Jesus Christ, in him are all the treasures of wisdom. We'll find the Lord Jesus Christ. And then what happens? He gives wisdom. God's not stingy. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Where's his mouth? We see it in the scripture, the words of scripture. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. Do you notice that straight away it's come on to a military idea, a guarding? Because, yes, we should seek it intensely like gold, but there's a sense that there's a danger if we don't find it. Because if we do find it, he guards us. If we do find it, he's a shield. This is the urgency of someone under attack. And it's as simple as, if you're on his side, you're safe. It's kind of like if you're in the playground and there's one guy and he's particularly big. He's there on the second row of the rugby team. And if you're his friend, well, don't need to worry about too much. You're safe. If you know God in a much bigger way than that, you're safe. Developing wisdom is about finding a relationship with God. But it's not just finding a relationship with God. It's finding the paths of God. Now notice, there's two thens. There's the then in verse 5. And then there's another then in verse 9. Notice both thens involve understanding. The first then in verse 5 says you will understand the fear of the Lord. The second then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. You'll understand the ways of God. And both times that you will be guarded. Look at verse 8. The first then, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of his saints. And verse 11, discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. So from knowing God, we know the ways of God. We know how he thinks. We know how he approaches things. We know the path to be on. Now, Proverbs is full of pictures, and you can see one of those in verse 10. Wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Now, I don't know how you feel about food. I know some of you here might feel yourself somewhat of a connoisseur of certain types of food, whatever it is. If you're to say you're a connoisseur, I prefer someone to be a connoisseur of puddings than of the first course. But different people have different things. They have a taste for what is best. And that is what God gives us. That's the then of finding understanding. Knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. So as we go through life, as we read the Bible, if we've sought wisdom from God intently, if we've found it in knowing him, then we'll be taken to his paths by, they'll feel instinctively right. They will taste right to us. We'll have a sense. We won't just want the good, we'll want the best. They'll be pleasant to our souls. To keep with the food ideas, discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. You know, if you go into the fridge, and maybe you've been on holiday, you come back and you think, can I have that milk? What do? Do you just pour it on your cereal and hope for the best? What do you give it? You give it the sniff test. And you just think, no. Or, yes. Well, that's the kind of idea in verse 11. Discretion will watch over you and understanding will guard you. There's kind of like an instinctive sniff test. Someone says, do this. And you're like, smells a bit fishy about that. You might not be able to put your finger on it, but you just get a sense of that's not going to end well. If someone said to you, well, why not? You might not know, but you just sense from what someone said to you, that doesn't sound very good. And someone says something else and you think, well, that smells better. That sounds good. And in fact, you'll find it pleasant to your soul. So it's this idea that our instincts will be increasingly right. You know, like someone who's got a good sense of direction or a bad sense of direction. Now, I have a terrible sense of direction. In fact, I was driving with Pierre, and Pierre was far too polite to me, and I was going exactly the opposite direction, and he was far too polite to say, Paul, what on earth are you doing? You're going the wrong way. But we can't afford going the wrong way, can we? Away from God rather than towards God. How are we going to have this instinct? If you've got a sense of direction, you've either got it or you haven't. But this sense is a reward from God promised to all who diligently seek him. Desiring wisdom ends up with developing wisdom. And what's the result? Well, the result in this second section is deliverance by wisdom. So if we're those who are desiring wisdom and developing wisdom, will end up finding deliverance by wisdom. And deliverance is the key word of this section. You can see it there in verse 12, delivering you from the way of evil. That's the four verse section. And then verse 16, so you'll be delivered from the forbidden woman. Now these themes will be picked up on and expanded in Proverbs, but in short measure, they're put for us here. And firstly, it's talking about a general way of evil, deliverance by wisdom from wicked men. Men, it says here, of perverted speech who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. Particularly, the writer to Proverbs, Solomon, is warning those who grow up in Christian homes from following others who grow up in Christian homes from going astray. And those of you who are older, you will know people who've grown up in Christian homes who've been led astray by other people from Christian homes. How does it say that in the text? It talks about those who forsake the paths of uprightness. Like the parents have said, go this way. And they said, no, I'd rather go the other way. They forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So people being sent on the wrong way, we need to be aware of the temptation to be taken off onto the wrong way. Who are these people? Well, it says that they're people who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil. These might be witty people. They might be the entertainers. They might be the comedians. They might be fun to be around. But they're leading you astray. And these are men whose paths are crooked, who are devious in their ways. I tried to do an online banking transaction the other night, and immediately this big thing came up and said, you are susceptible to online fraud. Read this kind of like, scroll through this 7-point list of, is someone trying to scam you? Scam one, scam two, scam three, scam four, scam five. You go to the end of this and think, no, I'm not being scammed. But why have they put that? Because no one says, do they, hey, I'm really vulnerable to online fraud. No one says that. So they've put that barrier in there for everyone. And you might today think, oh, I wouldn't do any bad sin. I wouldn't go well off the path. I wouldn't go astray. Well, this says that there are devious men following Satan rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, who would love to lead you off the path. How will you find deliverance? You find deliverance from wisdom. Remember, wisdom comes from desiring it and developing it through knowing God. So if you don't want to be led astray by wicked men, if you want to be delivered from that, you need to know God. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord. But it didn't just talk about here deliverance from wicked men, but from a wicked woman. That's in verse 16. Deliverance comes again. Notice the theme here. So in the first, the wicked men, verse 12, it said, delivering you from the way of evil. What do those wicked men do? Verse 13, they forsake. And what were their paths like? Their paths are crooked. So we've got delivering, forsake, and paths. Verse 12, verse 13, verse 15. The same pattern emerges again. Deliverance, verse 16, from the forbidden woman. What does she do? She forsakes, verse 17, the companion of her youth. And verse 18, it takes her on a different path to the departed, as in to the dead. Again, it's talking about someone who knew the right thing. She's made vows. This seems to be a woman who has potentially married. She's an adulteress. She's not a fornicator. And it's saying that she is a danger. Isn't it interesting that Solomon has picked out wicked men in general, and then he's got a whole section on the forbidden woman? And again, this is a theme that comes again and again in Proverbs. But we know today the power of this area for taking people off the right path. Because the pull of the flesh is strong. And the forbidden woman, seen maybe online, maybe someone, I was hearing of someone the other day who, they had someone walked up to them in the playground, I don't know if it was even a friend, and said, look at this. And they looked. And what happened next? Well, they looked some more. And what did they do? They went home and they looked some more. And what happened? They spiraled. And they went on and on. And they weren't even particularly liking this stuff. But they were like, well, that's what everyone's looking at. So I'll be odd if I don't like it. And they talked to their parents. They talked to their, it was actually a girl. She talked to her mum. And then she then rejected what her mum said because all her friends were looking at this stuff. So she better look at it as well. And she better follow it and be informed by what's going on. What does Solomon say? Solomon says you need to be delivered from this. It's like the devil's bait with a big hook and some juicy bait. And he says, come this way. And he'll say, come and come and come and come. It'll be there all over the place. How will you be delivered from that? You'll be delivered from that by knowing God. Don't think that you have a power that other people don't. You need to. This is desperately serious stuff. We need to be desiring wisdom, to develop wisdom in the knowledge of God in order to be delivered from the wicked woman. But most of all, we need to be delivered from the wicked's end. That's the end, the close. We've had a four on wicked men, verses 12 to 15. A four verses on the wicked woman, verses 16 to 19. And then being delivered from the wicked's end is there in verses 20 to 22. If we're desiring wisdom and developing wisdom, we know deliverance by wisdom, so you will walk in the way of the good and keep on the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. You might say, well, don't need to worry, because Israel, physical Israel, was taken out into exile. Okay, this came true, but we're not physical Israel. Well, how does the Lord Jesus Christ apply this kind of thinking? Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And who are the meek? The meek are those who have been internally changed, born again, so their attitude is not, hey, I can do this, but their attitude is, I need God's help. I need absolute dependence upon him that I might inhabit the new heavens and the new earth. This is the seriousness of what's going on. Deliverance so that we might be able to inherit the new heavens and the new earth. Well, where does this leave us this evening? Well, firstly, I think it leaves us with remembering this, the priceless privilege of searching for and finding God early. If you speak to people in this congregation who were converted later in life, I've never met anyone who said, I thank God that I was so far in the world. They say, I wish I hadn't done those things. I'd give anything not to have done them. The priceless privilege of seeking the kingdom of God early. That's why it starts, my son, it's passionate, saying, seek him early. Being disciplined in the school of biblical wisdom. Put in the language of Jesus, what does it profit a man if he gains an 11 plus GCSEs, A-levels and a degree, but forfeits his soul? It doesn't profit. The priceless privilege of seeking the kingdom of God early. So you ask yourself, am I seeking him? What would I want most? And if it's not him, we've got our priorities wrong. But second, it tells us about the huge responsibility if you're a parent or a Sunday school teacher or a grandparent or someone who has influence to be able to say to your children, to your grandchildren, or those who will hear you, the words of this, my son. Remember, this is the scriptures. It's not just about one father and one son. The responsibility of encouraging people to seek God and to be modeling that ourselves. I mean, how can people take us seriously if we say, seek God, desire him, earnestly, if we are casual, if we say, well, I did seek him earlier, I'm glad I did, but now I'm okay. I've kind of plateaued off and I'm okay. I don't need to anymore. I don't need to treasure anymore. I'm there. That's dangerous. But thirdly, in application, we can think as well that we need to be ruthless about the things that draw us on the way of sin. So if there are stories that excite the imagination towards evil relationships like the ones here, whether they're in written form, whether they're on film or whatever, if they're exciting the imagination towards relationships that are evil or things in relationships that are evil, we need to cut them off. You might say, well, that's cutting a lot off. Well, how seriously do you view your soul? How seriously do you view the danger? Do you view it as Solomon viewed it? And we can think about this in terms of what Bunyan would have called Vanity Fair, drawing us in the way of sin. Now, I don't know if you ever read things on the way in. Now, I did read something on the way in this morning. It's a fascinating, I don't know if you like local history, but there was something about the local history of Thanet. It's on the board out there and you can read it if you want. But I'll just read a certain section to you about this area. This is not particularly from godly people, as far as I can see. In Dover, in 1826, there was a proclamation regarding the St. Peter's biannual fairs. And they were prohibited as a nuisance which also corrupts the rising generation. Okay? A nuisance which corrupts the rising generation. If that's a kind of general societal thing in the early 19th century, worried about a fair, you might think, well, fair, that's just fun. But worldly entertainment, thrill-seeking, pushing the boundaries is what the world's about. Remember, it's this sniff test. Is it taking us in the right direction, or is it taking us in the wrong direction? And maybe that's something we can discuss later on. Which way do we go? We are in an entertainment age, aren't we? What does that do to our mind? What does that do to our way of thinking? Positively, what does that mean? This means that we need to surely cultivate pure pleasures which stir up the mind to good things. We want to be enjoying what is good. Enjoying good things. And again, we'll look at these things more as we look through Proverbs. But one principle which is a good one is the more natural it is, the more to do with nature, the safer it's probably going to be. And the more of man that's in it, the more dangerous it's probably going to be. So to concretize, you're probably going to come against less dangers out in the countryside than at the fairgrounds. But what should we do above all as we look at this passage, which tells us that we should be desiring wisdom, developing wisdom, and finding deliverance by wisdom? We should hear this, not just as Solomon to a son, not as a father to a son, but we should say, these are the words of my heavenly Father. Doesn't he love me? Doesn't he love me intently? How could I not want to do what my heavenly Father would have done? Who do we think could have memorized this? Starting easy to memorize, different letters of the Hebrew alphabet, a 4-4-3 structure. Is this not the kind of passage we can imagine our Savior having learnt, having taken to heart, and having lived by every single path, the sniff test? He said, I want to go on the right way. Your will, not mine be done, was the way of our Saviour. And so then we read this not as legalism or as negative, but we read this as the pure, passionate advice of a God who only wants the best. And we can rejoice in the if-then structure. If God says if and then, we can say, God, I'm seeking. Please make these thens be true. Develop wisdom in me and deliver me from all the dangers. Amen.